Those of you that are visiting with us, welcome to Lake Burien. We are pretty informal here, and so we hope that you will just settle in, relax, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, open your hearts through the words that are spoken, through the music that's sung, through the fellowship of just being together. So welcome. We want to give you a warm welcome, and thank you for choosing to be with us here today. And now I'm going to invite Jordan to come and read our scripture.
Hello, my name is Jordan. Some of you may know me, some of you may not. Today I will be reading Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying burial spices they had prepared. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they could not find the body of Master Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then out of nowhere, it seemed two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck and bowed down in worship. The men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He is not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee? That he had been handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up." Then they had remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and broke the news of all of this to the 11 and the rest, Mary, Magdalene, Joanne, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles. But the apostles didn't believe a word of it. Thought that they were making it all up. But Peter, jumped to his feet and ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in and saw a few grave clothes. That's all. He walked away, puzzled, shaking his head. This is God's word. This is God's word to us.
Good job, Jordan. Thank you. Yeah. So let me take a minute. So we try really hard to make sure that our young people have a place to bring their voice. Some Sundays you may walk in and we might be having young people up just sharing what God has done in their lives. And so we're grateful when young people actually feel like God's word is for them too. It's not just for the over 30 crowd. Amen? And I'm going to ask you to please participate with me. This is probably not your normal Presbyterian worship service, if you haven't already figured that out. And so we're informal. Please just feel free. An amen every now and then is helpful to the preacher. Amen. Thank you. just a few other comments. If you haven't been worshiping with us during this Lenten season, our theme for Lent has been words that bring new life. And what you see above my head here is the words new life in the different languages of the people who are part of our worshiping community on Sundays. So I'm going to need help. This is Hawaiian. Above my head is Korean. This right here would be English. Mandarin. Swahili. Samoan. I should know that one. Okay, back up here, the top. Chamorro. Japanese? Spanish. Okay. Come here.
Filipino.
Woo-hoo! Filipinos in the house. Okay. Creole. And French. Okay, so this is who our community is becoming, the folks that actually live in our neighborhood. And so we're trying really hard at Lake Burien to find ways to make sure that people find their place here and feel welcome. To my left and my right, we've been doing a part of our service, which will come later, words that bring new life and also words of sorrow and lament. And so at the end of the preaching, you'll have a chance to just come forward. There's pens, and you can just write your words of new life or words of sorrow and lament. And we're going to keep those up for a couple weeks more and actually begin to pray some of these prayers that people have brought forward. So that's what all of this is going on. So today is Resurrection Sunday. Amen. When I was back 40-plus days ago, beginning my Lenten journey, how many of you tried your best to do Lent this year? Come on, raise your hands. Just quickly, tell me what some of you did for Lent. What did some of you do for Lent? Read Scripture. Gave up social media. What else? How many of you were 100% on your Lent commitments? I was not. I was better than I've been in the past. But this whole idea of the Lenten journey is to try to slow down this story that we celebrate today, resurrection. The idea of Lent is to actually make us stop and pause and consider, what are the things that God wants to speak to us and to say to us, and what can I do, what can I give, what can I make space for? And so that's what many of us have been doing. We started as part of our Lenten observation, we had a Good Friday service 2 days ago, and it was an awesome, wonderful, beautiful time of retelling the story of the crucifixion, which is what Good Friday is. And it was an interesting, beautiful Good Friday for me. My nieces and were there with all of their children. And my four-year-old niece, who some of you may know, her name is Shane. She's just this beautiful child. And I saw Shane at the Good Friday service, and it was interesting to me because she came in a beautiful black dress and earrings and a pearl necklace. And I saw her in the foyer after the service, and I didn't say anything, but I thought, that's interesting that she came so dressed up. And so when we went out for pizza afterwards, I asked her mom, my niece, Fatna, why is Shane all dressed up for Good Friday? And she said, ask her. And so I said, Shane, you look beautiful tonight. Why are you so dressed up for Good Friday? And she said, it's because I was going to Jesus' funeral. Aww. I said, what? She said, I was going to Jesus' funeral. And I was thinking, wow. And then I looked at her mom, and her mom had this look on her face like, yeah, seriously, that's what she said. And then I looked at her mother, and Fatna had also a black dress on, and she told me, she said, I couldn't let my child go out like that. So, you know, Shane kind of rallied her household to prepare for a service, which is really interesting. Shane, at 4 years old, is beginning to understand this story, and it's so simple that she knew that she was coming to Jesus' funeral, and that's why she wore this black dress. And I said, well, how did she know what to wear? And it was because it's the same dress that she wore to my mother's funeral. And so she's beginning to put these pieces together in her mind about what we as believers and folks who are following after Jesus understand. And sometimes I think that four-year-olds actually get it quicker and faster than many of us do. Amen? Today, though, she's wearing a fancy dress. She knows that Jesus is alive. She's wearing her hat that her grandmother, the outfit that her grandmother bought. And while she also knows that there's some candy somewhere happening today, she really truly does have this idea of what resurrection is. She knows that resurrection is life, that resurrection is a living relationship with Jesus. And this, in fact, is what I hope that you are looking for. If you came to service today because you're visiting with your family and this is something that you all do together, I want to say welcome to you. If you are here today because Lake Burien is your place of regular worship and your community of faith, welcome also to you. But today, what I want to ask us all to do is have in the back of our minds this question of, what is resurrection to you? What is resurrection to you? What are you looking for? Let's pray. God, my prayer this morning is that we can just settle in to the good news this morning. but that we would settle in not in a passive way, but settle in a way that allows our spirits to be open to you and to your word, open to your instruction, open to the nudgings, open to being changed, to being transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, that this would not just be an exercise that we and a habit that we do because we think we're supposed to do it, but that somehow we would come with hearts that are leaning and ears that are open to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this was the challenge that happened actually that Sunday morning in the passage that Jordan read. The women that came early that morning to the tomb, they came looking not for a resurrected Jesus. They actually came looking for a corpse. They weren't looking for a living Jesus. They were looking for a dead body. They came back to the tomb, the burial place, the place where dead people are laid to rest. They came back to that place expecting only to find Jesus's lifeless body. They were not looking for life. What are you looking for? They weren't looking for life, but what are you looking for this morning? They had no expectations of anything else. They knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was dead. They saw the crucifixion. They were witnesses there. They were there when he breathed his last. They were there when he said, "It is finished." The Roman centurions, who are experts in death, satisfied themselves that Jesus was in fact gone. They had seen Jesus' body wrapped and placed in the tomb. There was no mistake. They absolutely, positively knew that Jesus was dead. That really had to be a tough thing to witness. We know these women had been with Jesus throughout his ministry. They watched him heal. They watched him preach. They watched him teach. They experienced his ministry firsthand. They'd given everything to follow him, as did his disciples. And it all ended Friday night at the cross. It ended there with him dying a brutal crucifixion. So on this morning, when they came to the cemetery, they came to do one thing. They had come to anoint his body, a dead body, a corpse, as was their tradition. So no, they weren't looking for the living among the dead, right? The two men that stopped them at the tomb said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Because we weren't looking for the living. We're actually looking for the dead. We weren't actually looking for the living. I can't say that I blame them after all. They saw everything that had just happened 2 days ago. And they were met again with this question, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? That question is really important for you and for me today. Resurrection is about a living God, not about a dead God. What are you looking for today? Are you looking for a dead God? Do you worship a dead God? Or are you sort of on the fence? That idea about a living God, you kind of heard it before, but you're not really sure that it's true. I've come to realize, sadly, that there are Christians that don't really even engage this question. The question, is there a living God? It's not real for a lot of Christians. I've come to realize that we can go through the motions of church. We can go through the motions of worship. We can go through the motions of prayer. We can go through the motions of singing songs. We can go through the motions of a regular tithe and a regular offering. But in actuality, the God that we say that we worship, we don't have a picture of a living God. What we have, if any picture of all, is a God that is actually dead. And you know what? Here's the bad news. If we worship a dead God, then we're a dead church. In this reality, we worship a God who is dead, a God that makes not one bit of difference in our lives. In that reality, we're walking around the tombs. We're walking around the cemetery with some oil, coming to pay homage to a God that is, for all intents and purposes, dead. Here's the problem with a dead God. A dead God can't give you what you're looking for, whatever it is that you're looking for. I asked you, what are you looking for? And a dead God can't give you whatever that is. A dead God cannot change your life. A dead God cannot heal broken relationships. No wonder we have issues within the church and we're trying to figure out how to love one another. It's because we don't have a picture and a living relationship with a living God. How do we live without judging each other? You can't do it if you worship a dead God. Sometimes I see us as the church, the big church, kind of standing around looking at each other like, what do we do? Kind of like a zombie church. A zombie church. Ask your kids. They know what zombies look like. I actually wonder if God looks at the church sometimes and said, zombies, wake up. Wake up. Above all, a dead God and a dead church provides no hope. No real healing, no hope in the times of trouble, in times of peril, in times of fear. A dead God and a dead church provides nothing for the world. And you wonder, as I do often, I feel like the world is looking at the church or people who claim a Jesus, a God. They're looking at us wondering, what happened to you guys? What happened? Here's what I think it looks like a little bit to understand and to know that we have a God who has been resurrected and that we also have been resurrected if you believe it. You can't say you believe it and then not act like you believe it. You can't say you believe in a resurrected God and then not act and then go back to Monday through Saturday and act like there's no resurrection. I feel like it's a series of choices every day what resurrection is. It's a choice. It's choices that you make, life over death. Choices of love over fear. Choices about the well-being of other people, no matter where they live, no matter what God they worship. Choices of the well-being of God's people over choices of power. Choices to love our enemies and to pray for them, not demonize them. I'm not naive, and I don't pretend that I understand all the politics of what's happening in our world today. But here's one thing that I do know. For the church, our call as the church is to love. It's not the call of America to love our enemies, and I've finally figured that out. America is not called to love our enemies. That is abundantly clear. It's been abundantly clear for decades, and let's not pretend that this is a unique challenge just to this particular administration. America is called to protect our way of life, but that is not the call of the Christian. That is not the call of the church. As Christians, our way of life is Jesus' way of life, and his way is this: compassion for the poor, sacrifice for the well-being of our neighbor, peace and justice, reconciliation, and loving and praying for your enemies, no matter how many bombs we want to drop. That is not God's way. Can I say that? And if you're part of the church, we have to figure this out. We don't get a pass. If you say Resurrection Sunday and resurrection belongs to you, you do not get a pass on these very difficult questions. God is calling the church actually to sit in this space, which, you know, we want to pretend that it's just been since November, but it hasn't. It's really been for decades that we have acted in this way in the world, like we own everybody else. It's always been this way, and that's because America has a different call than the church. And sometimes that gets really blurry. And I want to say to you today, those of you that are gathered in this roof, that our call, if you are claiming this resurrection, your call is different in this world. The definitive things that are the ways of God, he's already laid out for us. Give it up. Give it all up. Surrender, sacrifice, and serve one another in love. Our motivation isn't to become the most powerful nation in the world with the strongest military power and might. We have been more indoctrinated and addicted in a culture that says acquire, acquisition, amass wealth, be bigger, stronger, better. Even our bombs are bigger. What the heck? All of those things just make us in our hearts more fearful. All it does is create more fear in our hearts. And God has called us not to give in to fear, but to combat fear with love. Not fear with courage, but fear with love. Amen? Our church, God's church, is called to love our enemies and to pray for them. And I'm sorry if you thought today's message was going to be really frilly. We don't do frilly very well here. Resurrection life is real. Resurrection life is real and it's concrete. It's not abstract. It comes to us, like I said, in the ways that you choose every single day. Choices of community over isolation. Choices of generosity over greed. We're stewards of his gifts, including our time and our money. It doesn't belong to you anyway. God gave you that to steward. It actually still belongs to God. You and I are called to steward the gifts that he's given us. Our education, our money, our time, and any other resource. Our call as resurrected people is to steward God's gifts in the world. If we find ourselves too busy to give time and resources to something other than our job or something that only benefits you and your tiny little world, me and my tiny world, here's the challenge. We just might be too busy. I was reading an article that talked about one, and I hear this coming out of my mouth, and when people reflect it back to me, I cringe. Lena, you're just so busy. Please don't say that to me. Because when you say that to me, I listen and I go, something's wrong. If I'm too busy for people to actually feel like there's space and room in my life to actually have friendship and relationship, then I am too busy. Amen? Resurrection life is a life that's put out there for us to actually, every day, you could probably wake up tomorrow and begin to look at the choices that you make and ask yourselves, do these choices align with a life that's about resurrection? We make these choices, as I said, every day, and you are invited to make these choices. God is inviting you to make them, to experience resurrection and to act, to walk with Jesus in each of those choices that are actually very difficult. It doesn't happen by osmosis. And sometimes we treat resurrection like it's a theory, but it's not. We are actually called to act in a loving relationship with the resurrection Jesus. Here's some examples of what I see here in our congregation. Advocating on behalf of students of color in this school district for whom equity in their education is not a real thing. Considering what it means to provide a safe place for those in need of refuge and sanctuary. Advocating on behalf of housing for those who are homeless. I happened upon a conversation last week in Cookie Heaven, for those that are visiting. It's the children named it Cookie Heaven. It's reception, it's the reception, where there is cookies. But I happened upon a conversation last week with some folks from our congregation who were talking about homelessness and what can we do to provide shelter for young people, that growing population of young adults in this community who are without homes. I don't know if some of you who are connected to the Presbytery, last week Seattle First Press announced that they are in a partnership with Compass, which is an international homelessness agency, and are going to use, it's a big, huge building if you've ever been to First Press downtown, but they are joining in partnership with Compass to provide shelter for 100 homeless people. I wish more churches would actually get on that ship. You know, I said this 2 weeks ago, Tally and Crystal said this last week, you drive around and you see big sanctuaries that are only filled one day a week. I think that's waste. I actually think that's waste, and I don't think that God is happy with that. I think that God wants us to be more accountable to the things that he has given to us to steward. For the sake of our children, if you want to know some of the other ways that you can act, have conversations with your kids about things like Good Friday. Begin to prepare your children differently than maybe the way that you prepared, in that you were raised, as I was, to treat Sunday as important to be here because that's the way that I was raised, but really didn't make the connection of what that actually meant to my life every day. What else can you do? Pray for your enemies. Don't give in to fear. Remember Jesus' words to combat fear, not with courage, but with love. Now, if you are a person who's kind of on the fence with this whole faith thing, I just want to say a few words about that. Every month I pay my car insurance. American Commerce, they love me. I pay my car insurance, and I pay it so that in the event of one day that I'm in a wreck and total my car, because I paid my policy up every month, I'm covered. American Commerce will take care of me. Because I paid my premium, they will pay for my car rental, and they'll pay to fix my car. Some of us actually treat our relationship with God like an insurance policy. That if I pay my premiums, when I get in trouble, I'm covered. Amen? Pay your premium, go to church, right? Worship. Pay your tithes, pay your offerings. Then when stuff hits the fan, God's got me. If that is the nature of your relationship with God, I just want to invite you today to put that on the cross. Let that one die. Because that is not God's interest in the way that God wants to relate to his people. Right? Don't treat your relationship with God like it's a transaction every day. Right? I've heard people say this. You better pray because you might need God one day. You better come to church because one day when you want God to help you, you're going to go to God and he's not going to hear you. God does not work like that. Free yourself from that lie. Amen? The truth of the entire matter is that God has already taken care of everything. God's already got you. God has taken care of everything, and now you can freely, out of that love, choose God back. That's what our baptism says. God chose you before we could even choose God. Resurrection is a gift. It is Jesus. He, in fact, is the resurrection, and that is what it looks like. So what are you looking for today on this resurrection day? Resurrection is not an experience. It's not a theory. Keeping it as a theory takes away from its power. Make a decision today. Keeping it as a theory, as the church, lets us off the hook. Keeping it a theory makes the church ineffectual. A dead God will not ask much of you, but a resurrected God will ask everything. A dead God doesn't ask much. A resurrected God asks everything. And I want to just ask you today to recommit yourselves to give God everything. If you've never experienced resurrection, my prayer is that you will today, and that you will do so by taking a step toward the hard places and the hard conversations that the living Christ is inviting us into. Personal hard questions, corporate hard questions, world hard questions. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And he has invited you and I individually into a risen life. But more exciting for me is he has invited the church, the community of faith, into a risen and resurrected life as well. People who witness to the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, not later, but now. Amen.